you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps this passage could be subtitled James Tips and Hints on How to Live a Christian Lifestyle, because it does cover a number of little topics which we'll be looking at briefly. And although I know last week we really concentrated on prayer, that will come up again on here. And it's pretty important, isn't it? But first of all, patience. I want it. And I want it now. I wonder how many of us say that. Probably we do sometimes. Children certainly do. When they're out doing their Christmas shopping. Mummy, I want it. And I want it now. Patience is not one of those things that a lot of us have got an overdose of. Everything has to be instant, doesn't it? Coffee. Instant internet. Instant access to all sorts of things. Even instant confidence. Hope you've all got some of that with you. Instant weight loss. Perhaps one or two of us need some of that. Instant loans. It's everywhere, isn't it? Everyone wants everything to happen now. But I suggest the Bible is saying to us, if that's us, just give way. It's not necessarily saying to stop, but just give way to think about things before we want it immediately. And of course, it's particularly talking here about being patient for the Lord's return. But there are all sorts of circumstances where we have to be patient, aren't there? Patience. Anyone know what that is? A waiting room, which I suppose the very term suggests you've got to have a bit of patience waiting around. And certainly from my experience this week, on Wednesday, patients need patience. I think a lot of you know that I've had a whole series of eye operations, which is why I'm squinting and glaring and all sorts of things like that. And on Wednesday of this week, I had to go for another double dose of laser. 500 shots of laser in my left eye, 400 in my right. And I had to wait around while the anaesthetic took place. They do all sorts of drops and all sorts of things like that. And the whole program was a series of waiting. So I had some patience. And I don't know if many of you know what's involved in laser eye surgery, but it's not very pleasant, as this guy here is about to find out. But you certainly need to have patience. Be patient then, my friends, until the Lord comes. We probably want him to come pretty quickly, but the people here are told, keep your hopes high, for the day of the Lord's coming is near. And we probably think, in our scale of time, that isn't very true. Because it seems a long time, 2,000 years since he first came. He is coming back. And probably we think 2,000 years is a very long time. But in God's scale of eternity, it's nothing really. So we must keep prepared. Perhaps you could take this little poster, keep calm and read Psalms. I think there are probably times when all of us need that, isn't it? We tend to flap, we tend to panic. And then another little gem of wisdom coming from James. Do not complain against one another. Oh dear, that's one of my favourite hobbies. No, sorry, perhaps not. So that God will not judge you. The judge is near, ready to appear. Don't complain. Anyone here had a good moan this week about something? I'm sure some of you have. You may not want to admit it, but I'm sure you've had a few complaints here and there. And I'm sure I'll get a few for going on too long in the sermon. Perhaps I'll go along a bit, get some complaints because I've made some people feel a bit guilty about this. I don't know. Who knows? But this is the word that's in Scripture for us. You know, many years ago, every church and virtually everyone was talking about the judgment that was to come. And people were prepared that any day God would be coming along to judge everyone. These days that tends to get tucked in the background a bit, doesn't it? It's not the emphasis of many sermons. If you'd listened to some of the earlier preachers, they would have really shocked us, some of the stuff they were saying. The graphic pictures they had of what hell was going to be like to try and shake us into preparing to receive God. Things have changed, perhaps, but the message is still there. So, if you're one of those who complains, the message of this passage is quite simple. Stop it. Stop complaining against each other. And that's important. There are certain things we do need to complain about to get things done. So, all complaining is not wrong, but complaining about each other is not acceptable. We need to accept and love each other, whatever we're like. He then goes on to speak about remembering the prophets and says, take them as examples of patient endurance under suffering. And he spoke particularly then about Job, but reading through the Old Testament, it's a common theme that the prophets were patient. They endured because they knew that the message they got to give was an important one. Another little thing. How many of us are a little bit hesitant giving answers when asked a question? Message here is pretty simple, isn't it? Say only yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. And then you will not come under God's judgment. But I suspect many of us think, yes, but, or no, but. The message here is clear. Let's be totally honest with each other. If it's a yes, say it. If it's a no, say it. And we need to be honest and careful with each other to remember to accept another people's view. It may not be ours, but we must accept that they have got their own rights. So that everyone is right, has a right to say yes or no. And we need to accept it. Are any among you in trouble? Well, that could mean a lot of things, couldn't it? Trouble's got many facets. If you've got trouble of any sort, shape or size, it's saying quite clearly here that people in trouble should pray. And as most of you know, after the service every week, there is an opportunity, if you want it, for someone to pray with you. Doesn't matter what it's about at all. If you've got any concern, you are invited to come and have someone pray with you. Are any among you happy? Don't know. It says on here, they should sing praises. And I was looking on the internet for some suitable pictures of people singing praises. The first one that came up, this one. Well, If you notice, not one mouth is open, apart from down in the right hand corner. Is that Nikki by any chance? Someone's having a good praise there, but the rest have got their mouths shut. So I looked up another one, perhaps the opposite extreme. But these people clearly are singing praises, because they're happy. So when it comes to the next song today, we're going to be looking around to see if you're happy. What's the evidence? That you'll be singing praises. Are any among you sick? Well, this is something that many of us, in various ways, are sick. And the message here is quite clear. They should send for the church elders who will pray for them and rub olive oil on them in the name of the Lord. So, if you're sick, get someone to pray with you. It's nothing to be ashamed of that you need prayer. I know some of us guys don't like admitting any weaknesses of any sort, shape or size. But the reality is, we've got the message here. If you're sick, call for prayer. Because it does say that a prayer made in faith will heal the sick. The Lord will restore them to health. And the sins they have committed will be forgiven. It doesn't say maybe, it says will be. So, if anyone's sick, let's remind you, an opportunity for prayer after the service, or come to Bill, myself, Norma, and one of us will happily pray with you. The prayer of a good person has a powerful effect. That means, in fact, that any one of you, if you're living as God wants you to live, you can pray and have a powerful effect on other people. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we probably think, oh yeah, he's a vicar, he's okay at praying, but it's not something I can do. Well, the answer is, it is. It's something any one of us can do. If we're walking with the Lord, we can pray for one another. So, what is this passage actually saying to us? It's saying be patient, but that doesn't mean just sitting back and waiting for God to do something. Perhaps we're a little bit prone to do this. Oh yes, eventually God's going to come along. He's going to come back somewhere. So, let's just wait. I don't think the passage is saying that when taken into context. I think we are told, while we're being patient, to also to be positive and proactive. What did it say in those verses? Don't complain. Pray if in trouble. Sing praises if happy. Ask for prayer if sick. Those are all action points. So while we are being patient, we need to take action ourselves. And the final verse of that passage was, remember this, whoever turns a sinner back from the world, back from the wrong way, will save that sinner's soul from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Whoever turns a sinner back. So it's our responsibility. If we see someone has done something wrong, it is each of us, our responsibility, to try and turn that person back to the right way. It's not our responsibility to judge them at all. We mustn't be judgmental, but we need to encourage people back to the way God wants them to be. So, this is saying, be involved. Patience, important. Prayer, important. So James finishes message with some positive pointers for us to follow. But if we ignore his advice there, we will pay the price. That too is a message of Scripture. If we ignore his advice, we had God to face on that judgment day, which again is part of that passage that we looked at. So we've each got a choice. Follow those guidelines and know that we're in his way, or ignore them at our peril. Shall we close with a prayer? Father, thank you for James' words to us. We pray that you'll help each one of us to have patience, waiting for your return. We pray that you'll help each one of us to avoid complaining about each other, to pray, to praise, and to seek your healing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.